what I want to share from God's word with you tonight is that right at the start of chapter 24, just first few verses, one through eight is what I'm going to read to you. But what kind of spawned this is that with everything that's going on and all the tumults of our time, I've actually had people come to me and ask me and say, you know, what does the Bible say about what's going on here, you know, and such. And I always have to tell people, well, you have to understand that the Bible says that Christ is going to return. He's going to judge the world. But we don't know when that's going to be. There are no indicators. And there are people horrified and terrified. And then, you know, there are those who ask me that. And then there are the others. It's 2012 and the Mayan calendar says that there's going to be some big tragedy. And does the Bible say anything about that? And so I just wanted us to just read what Jesus Christ said about this last age of the world that we live in. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Even today there are lots of false prophets. Who is that guy not so long ago that made the news because he predicted the return of Christ? And then it didn't happen, and so he said he was wrong, and he pushed it off a little further. I forget what his name was, but it was in the news. I guess one guy was talking about suing him because he went and he sold everything he had and basically used his resources to just spread the word that, you know, the world, you know, that Jesus was coming back right soon. And then he said he just felt betrayed and brokenhearted because he just had, like, sold his home, sold, you know, quit his job, sold everything, and just used his money to try to get out as much as he could to tell people. And Jesus says here, he says that he does not want us to be deceived. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And there have been a lot of people. And it seems that in the last century or so that there's been a huge number of them. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You know, since Christ died, there have been entire empires. You know, since Christ, I mean, you know, rose again from the, you know, was crucified and rose again. There have been empires that have risen and fallen. There have been, there was one plague, you know, everybody has heard, you know, most people have heard about the Black Plague that rolled through in the 1300s, but there was one before that that rolled through in the 600s that wiped out a huge portion of the population of what we would have known as the civilized world. People often have asked, you know, how was it, you know, I've heard Muslims say, you know, if it wasn't for God, you know, how was it that they were so able to overthrow the Eastern Roman Empire? Well, that's easy. Rome had just finished fighting the Persian Empire for about 100 years. Both the major empires of that time were, for the Middle East, were greatly depleted in their resources and their manpower. And then a plague rolled through. And it hit all the cities, all the, you know, major city areas. And figures vary, but they think a third or more of the people were killed. When the Black Plague hit in the 1300s, two-thirds of the world's population between India and Iceland died. The reason I'm raising these, you know, and then you have wars where millions of people have died. Following the Russian Revolution, they said that Stalin, during his reign, killed some 60 million of his own people. Millions died during World War II. Millions died in Cambodia when the Khmer Rouge took over. Hundreds of thousands have died in, you know, the Civil War and in Vietnam. And we can't look at circumstances of the world and say that that is an indicator of what's going to happen. You know that these are indicators that God is soon to judge the world. He has promised that Christ will return. We don't know when that is. We can't use these events. There's nothing in the Bible. No matter what Jack Van Impe says, you can't know when Christ is going to return. He hasn't said. Pastor Weigel and I, we've talked a lot about prophecy. And one of the things it's kind of a scary thought, but there's nothing in prophecy that would indicate an involvement by the United States of America. And we have to ask ourselves, with as involved as the U.S. is now in all these foreign nations, how could that be if it not for the idea that the U.S. is no longer involved, either destroyed as a nation or weakened to such a state or changed to such a state that it no longer is a world power? So we don't know. But I want you to notice something. One, this, all these things happening isn't catching God off guard. He says that there would be wars, numerous wars, that there would be plagues and pestilences, you know, running through the world. You know, people become terrified at the prospect of N1H1 or whatever. Huh? H1N1. You know what a doctor admitted to us is? A lot of the cases diagnosed as H1N1, they don't actually know that that's the case. They just, you know, you have the flu. And so they basically, you know, they said the only way they'd know is if they tested your blood. And they just say, well, you know, you likely have it, so we need to treat you. You know, but they don't know. He said so. A lot of the cases, the numbers are kind of inflated by a lot of doctors just saying, this is the strand that's going around right now. So, and you obviously have the flu, so you have it. But God isn't surprised by these things. We don't have to be afraid. We can trust the Lord who's in control of all things. But we also need to not allow these guys to trick us into believing their false messages. Saying, you know, these different Latter-day prophets, you know, claiming to have special revelation. Jesus Christ says that when he returns, it'll be like the lightning in the east. Everyone's going to see it. Everybody's going to know. There'll be no doubt. You know, lightning in the east, I think, shining in the west. You know, you see the lightning flashes. Everybody sees it, no doubt. But we're facing, you know, tumultuous times. And these can lend themselves to a sense of insecurity and fear. And if we're not careful, evil people can try to manipulate those concerns. And what we need to do is trust Christ, who says these things are going to come to pass. But don't be deceived. The end is not yet. This is just, Heidi and I were talking about it, and I said this is just part of living in a sin-cursed world. We're going to see war. We're going to see pestilence. We're going to see famine. And I think part of it is that we went through such an extended period of prosperity and security here in the U.S., that any prospect of us losing that, and we're all like, the world's coming to an end, whereas there are millions of people who lived their lives all the time in that level of insecurity. We ought to thank God for his blessings. And when we see, you know, these things, these events on the horizon that may shake things up, rather than becoming afraid and becoming possibly victims of these evil men who seek to prey on our fears, we ought to trust in the one who told us these things were going to happen, and trust him and let our faith, you know, rest in him, who said that he will save us, that we have eternal life, and that we will be with him always. So don't allow the events of the news, and you have to understand that a lot of times the news puts things in a really sensational way, otherwise nobody's interested. Somebody criticized a newspaper for when Michael Jackson was in at the trial. They criticized that everybody was writing about that and not about anything else that was going on. And this one newspaper, they said, we tried. One day, we tried. And we didn't sell any newspapers. People like sensationalism. But the news is going to put things in a very bold, sensational way to sell, to get you to watch the news, to get you to buy their newspapers and what have you. You know, if you just read the headline, you're going to get a real different impression. If you go on, I find often, you know, I'll read these headlines and it'll be some, you know, like startling find, you know, of some sort, you know, something to be scared about. And then you read down into it, and then it's like, oh, well, it's not as certain as they put in the headline. They don't really know. So don't allow the news media to scare you. Just put your trust in the Lord, who is faithful and just. Put your trust in the one who said, these are the things that are going to happen. And realize, no matter how fast talking some new world leader is, he's never going to bring peace. Not a lasting true peace. He's never going to be able to change the world from what Christ has predicted. He's just trying to sell us a fast one.